Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. For the last 2 weeks, I've been ending on Ephesians chapter 4, and I can never finish it. So I'm just going to start with Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll figure out how it goes from there. Glory to God. And what I'd like to do to begin with is, instead of starting right back where we left off, let's go all the way back up to verse 1, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I think that it's very important that as you read through Scripture, you know, it's great when the Holy Spirit will take a Scripture and illuminate that one Scripture for something that you need in your life at that moment. But during your time of study and overall, it's awesome to, what you really should do is take that Scripture and understand it in its full context. You get a real sense of what the Spirit of God is saying to the church at that time. And so we're going to back up just a little bit so that we can kind of get a full understanding of what he's talking about. And I just believe by the grace of God that I'm going to get all of this out today in Jesus' name. Oh, man, I was studying some things last night, and I'm just like, Holy Spirit, how? But we will see what happens. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Now, you know, those two words right there is not something that, you know, we talk about a whole lot, because just the concept of lowliness and meekness, you know, it sometimes generates the wrong idea in people's minds. But in reality, you know, Jesus said, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart. And so this is basically, it is the characteristic of Jesus that is operating through us. And you know, being meek and lowly doesn't mean that you're mamby-pamby. Meek and lowly simply means that it really goes in line with what the Scripture says, that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's saying, I'm not going to do this my way. Father, I submit to your will. I submit to your word. I'm getting pride out of the way and my trying to do it my way, my effort. And Father, I'm going to let you do the work. And so Jesus said, it's not me that does the works, but it's the Father that dwells in me. See, he was meek and lowly. He submitted himself. The Bible says he was obedient to God, even unto death. He stayed obedient. And so that's really what he's talking about. It's not thinking that you're better than somebody else, because we are who we are because of what Jesus has made us. Amen. And so he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, what I want you to see is he's about to start talking about us as a body of believers. And this is where the Spirit of God has really been having me here, is talking about our growth as a body of believers, the body of Christ in action. The body of Christ in action. We can take the promises of God and we can apply them individually to our lives, and you guys have had great teaching about how to do that. And so you don't need to continue to sit there never experiencing and receiving what God has for you individually and think 1 year, you know, 3 years, 5 years down the road, you're eventually going to get it. No, just get it. Amen. Believe God. Stop making excuses about why you won't believe God. But I will tell you that your growth as a member of the body of Christ, or your growth as an individual in the things of God, will not reach its full potential until you recognize what that position is in view of the rest of the body as you connect with other people. Watch. Lowliness and meekness with long suffering, forbearing one another, are basically bearing one another. And it's not just putting up with one another. He didn't stop there. He didn't say, I just want you to put up with each other. He said, you got to forbear one another in love. Amen. You love people, you don't put up with people. I'm just throwing some things out. Look at verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So here, he's being very focused. And I want to read this. I mentioned this translation last week, Rotherham's translation. I just want to read this from there. Hold on for just a second. Let me turn there. So he says in this translation, giving diligence, that's what endeavoring means, giving diligence to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. We're endeavoring to keep unity. We're endeavoring to stay one. Now notice that he says you're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that we're all going to have the same opinions about things. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be Alabama fans, although today that would be a pretty good deal. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be Auburn fans, you know. That's not what he's talking about. We can have our own likes and dislikes and our differences, but in the middle of all that, we keep the unity of the Spirit in peace. All the other stuff, that's just... you know, that's just other stuff. That's not what's most important in life. What's most important is us when we come together. You know, there will be people that won't show up to church the next day because their team lost, because they're not going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in peace. They're not going to love or forbear one another in love. You know, that's not what we are called to do. That's what I love about this church. We're grace people, so we can be gracious to each other. Amen? He says, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that one baptism is talking about us all. We are baptized into the body of Christ. When you became saved, you became baptized into the body of Christ. And then he says... one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So grace is given to you, to each one of us, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And after what we just saw this morning, the measure of the gift of Christ really is unlimited. There's unlimited grace that's been given unto you. Amen. Where sin doth abound, the Bible says, grace what? Much more abounds. And they that receive abundance of grace shall rule and reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on down to verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, I'm going to go back here. Let's go ahead and pull up Rotherham's translation starting in verse 12 so that they'll have it on screen. He gave some indeed to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers, verse 12, with a view to the fitting of the saints for the work of ministry. Not just for you to just absorb and to soak, but you are learning, you are receiving the word for the work of the ministry. Amen. There's a part. You have a gift. You have a calling. You have something that you can do that nobody else can do. Amen. There's something about you that's different than everybody else that you give to the body of Christ. With a view to the fitting of the saints for the work of ministering, for an upbuilding of the body of Christ. Until we all, say we all. We all. Until we all advance. Not until you advance. You don't get this mentality of, I want to advance further than anybody else in the things of God. You know, and look at me, I'm a giant in the things of God. And look at everybody else. I am outpacing them. I'm going to get to the finish line first. Well, that means you cut your life short if you get to the finish line first. But, you know, it's the things of God are not a competition. I'm going to say that again, because in our society, we're so competitive by nature, and the American dream and all of those things is built around us competing against other people. And when it comes to the body of Christ, you know, your hand isn't competing against your foot. You know, your different parts of your body aren't trying to compete against the other parts of the body. The body of Christ, living in the body of Christ, is not a competition against other people, other ministries, whatever it is, to see how much better you can be. Because the Bible says, it's one of the Corinthians, it says, we should not compare ourselves among ourselves. Paul had to deal with this with the Corinthian church. They, you know, some of them, they started kind of getting these little cliques going on. You had some of them saying, you know what, I got baptized by Apollos. Well, the other says, you know what, I got baptized by Paul. And so they went into these different camps. You had the Apollos camp and you had the Paul camp. And they were constantly kind of bickering and fighting and talking about why it was better that they were with, you know, whoever. And Paul said, what does that matter? He said, maybe I planted and maybe Apollos watered, but guess what? God's the one that gives the increase. Let's get our focus off of the individual and get it back on God, because he is the one that's giving the increase. So we, you know, and sometimes ministers do this. How do I describe this particular phenomenon that goes on? Ministers, as they're talking to one another, they'll share something that God has showed them, you know, but they won't share all of it. Because they don't want them to go out and preach it and get credit for getting the revelation. So they'll be cautious about that, because they're concerned about who gets credit for the revelation. Who's the one doing the revealing? God should get the credit for all of it. You know, Paul dealt with this as well. Just now thought about this. There were people that actually was preaching Jesus Christ, because they thought the more that they would preach it, the more difficult they were going to make it on Paul. Because he was being persecuted, he had been put into prison. And so what they were doing is, they weren't out of a pure heart, they weren't preaching Jesus, they were just trying to talk this doctrine so that they could create more problems for Paul, because they didn't like him. Right. Now, you know what Paul's response to that was? He said, what do I care why they're preaching it? Whether they're doing it for my harm or whether they're doing it for my good. Jesus Christ is being preached. He didn't matter about the credit. He didn't matter about that. All that he mattered was, is the gospel being preached? We got to get ambition out of the way. We got to get pride and self-centeredness out of the way. We got to go back and say, it's all about you, Jesus. It's not me that lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. It's not about this church. It's about the God of this church. Hallelujah. So he says, let me get back to my translation here. So he says, until we all advance, we're advancing together into the oneness of the faith and the personal knowledge of the Son of God, into a man of full growth. I'll say it again. I said it the past 2 weeks. It's not about us advancing individually into a man of full growth, growth. It's about us collectively as a body together, corporately advancing together into a man of full growth, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now let's go on down to verse 16. Well, let's go to verse 15 first. The King James says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things. The Rotherham translation says, but pursuing truth. Pursuing truth. It's not just about speaking truth. It's about pursuing truth. Amen. Pursuing truth, you may, in love, notice this phrase, grow into him. Grow into him. I used the example last week of, and particularly this time of year when you bake a cake or if you are cooking cookies and you want to make little shapes out of them, you'll put that dough into the pan or you'll put that dough into the little shape thing. And what it'll do is that dough will fill up. It will grow into the shape of that cookie. It'll grow into the shape of that cake. You don't just put a cake batter onto a flat pan and put it in there and hope that a square cake, you're going to end up with a big mess. And it says here that what we're doing as we have the individuals, the different parts of Christ, that we are growing up into him. We're growing into him. We're becoming those hands. We're becoming those feet. We're growing into what has already been outlined in the Spirit, what has already been declared about you in the Spirit. As you accept and as you start looking at your calling in view of the rest of the body of Christ and recognize that it's us working together, what happens is now you are becoming that which has been declared about you before you ever got saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 16. We want to spend a few minutes here. Out of whom all the body. So we're growing into him in all things who is the head, which is Christ. Out of whom all the body fitly framing itself together and connecting itself through means of every joint of supply by way of energizing in the measure of each single part secureth the growing of the body unto an upbuilding of itself in love. Did you get all that? That's a lot. So let's just break it down for a moment, okay? Christ first, the first phrase. Out of whom all the body. Out of whom all the body. That tells me that we don't grow ourselves, that Christ is the head, and that the body grows from him. Everything starts there. What's the next phrase? Fitly framing itself together. As each one of us begin to minister, begin to serve, begin to supply to others. Now there'll be people that are sitting here today and that are listening to this that'll say, you know, but Pastor, I'm an introvert. I'm an introvert and quite frankly, I don't like talking to other people. I would rather stay by myself. I'm comfortable by myself and being isolated for people. And so that excuse we will use to, because that's my personality. The problem with that is one, we're not trying to turn introverts into extroverts. We're not trying to turn you into somebody who wants to just go out and become this huge minister. Not at all. But at the same time, we have to recognize that you, even though you may be introverted and isolated, that you have a gift to give to the rest of the body of Christ. And we can't excuse, or we can't say, well, so this doesn't apply to me just because you're more comfortable being by yourself. The Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So as we allow our mind to transform us, as we allow the Word of God to transform us, as we take this Word about fitly framing itself together and allow it to become real on the inside of us, that Word will begin to cause you to want to connect to other people. It's not about you making it work. It's about you getting a revelation of what the Word says and let it become a reality in you. Amen. And you can just connect with two or three different people. You don't have to know everybody in the church. Amen. Fitly framing itself. Fitly framing. I swear, if that's the only thing y'all remember from this, fitly framing itself. In other words, we have to frame. We're fit as we fit. I'm skipping that part. You know what? You got it. We can go to the next phrase. Same thing. Next phrase. And connecting itself. I can get that part right. Connect yourself. The body of Christ connects itself together. You know, and what that means is not you sitting there saying, well, I agree with that, Pastor. And so I'm going to let people come and introduce themselves to me and let them connect to me. No, it's us stepping out and connecting ourselves with the body of Christ. Sometimes it's even people that you don't like that you have to learn to love. Lord, how do I say that? Is this the right word to use, that a lot of times we have homogenized churches? Is homogenized, is that a right word? And what I'm saying is, are filtered in the sense that they're all kind of the same. You know? They're just, you find people, they'll go to a church that they, that the people are a lot like them. And they want to hang around with people that are a lot like them. That's our human nature. You know? So you'll go to a lot of churches. There's not a lot of diversity in churches. There's not a lot of young and old and black and white and a lot of differences in different opinions and that sort of thing. That's one of the things I love about this church, is we're not trying to come together and say, are you like me? We're loving each other for who they are. We're accepting them. We're recognizing there's a gift. God is placing different gifts in this church. You know, this to me is a perfectly good example of what's happening in the body, of what's happening in the church. You know, for a number of you that are new, back before April, the band consisted of me playing keyboards and leading most of the worship, and Hannah and Chad and Seth and Micah, and then the background singers. We didn't have Selena and Derek here. God has just has brought them just in the last, I guess, what, 6-7 months, something like that, which is awesome. And so it's a blessing that, you know, and I mentioned this in my letter, that a lot of people are thankful that I don't have to sing anymore. But then I found out that wasn't necessarily the case with some people. I had Miss Shirley come to me. She said, I like the way that you sing, you know. And am I right? Yeah, that's right. Okay. You know, which at least that made me feel a little good. At least one person out of the congregation liked the way that I sang. No. It's not a big deal, because I've always said for years, I enjoy playing. I really enjoy playing keyboards and stuff like that. But the singing and the leading has never been what I really ever considered a calling, you know, on my life. I just did it because it just needed to be done. So, anyhow, so now we have Selena with her sweet voice that is, you know, that is singing and is adding and she's playing. And then we have Derek with his not-so-sweet voice. You know, that is the powerhouse. That's exactly right. You know, strong voice. And, you know, it has been interesting over the last month to hear the different people come up after certain praise and worship services, depending on who's leading. You know, you'll have those that that when Derek's led, it's like, oh, that was awesome praise and worship. I just love to hear Derek just, you know, just go where he's going. But then I'll have others come to me and say, you know, it would be fine with me if you just had Selena sing most of the time or Hannah sing most of the time. I love the sweetness and the gentleness, and they don't get as much out of Derek as they do out of Selena, and vice versa, you know? And interestingly enough, the ones that, the ones on one side can't see the view of the others on the other side. It's like, I have to be right. No, it's the body working together. It's the reason why we do team worship the way that we're doing it, you know? And people get blessed differently in different ways. There's people that like different styles of music. That's okay. But it's us forbearing one another, walking in love, because it's all about worshiping Him. It's not really about who's leading or who's not leading, because we should always come into a place that we're just going to worship. We're going to worship. Our focus is going to be on Him. Glory to God. Praise God. So it's connecting each one together, connecting itself together. Now let's go to the next phrase. Through means of every joint of supply. Okay, now this is interesting. We connect ourselves together, how? Through the means of every joint of supply. What does that mean? What does that mean? I connect myself through the means of every joint of supply. Here's what it means. So sometimes we can read words and we say, that sounds cool, but what does it really mean? It doesn't mean that I'm just going to connect myself to somebody just to meet them. You know, I'm not going to go up to this lady here for the first time and say, hi, I'm Pastor Mark. And she says, I'm Gil, and it's nice to meet you. And now, boom, we have connected ourselves together. As a member of the body of Christ, I have done my part. No. As I talk to Gail, and as I get to know her and find out, you know, things about her, and she finds out things about me, then what happens is we begin to receive from one another. There's things, there's experiences. Many of you probably don't know it, but Gail, you know, she graduated from Rhema many years ago. I mean, she is a licensed minister of the gospel. There are things that some experiences, and as you talk to her, see, Gail's so quiet, none of y'all knew. How many of you did not know that she had graduated from Rhema? Can I see this? Okay, see, so if you met her and that was it, you miss an opportunity to receive something from her. Now, as I spend some time learning her, I'm not making you uncomfortable, am I? By you know, because Gail just is so nice and just always, you know, sitting here by herself. And but as I connect to her, as I talk to her, as I share what's in my heart, as she shares with me, all of a sudden now that connection has happened because of what each one of us as a joint, what she is supplying to me in the spirit, what I am supplying to her. And so now the connection isn't carnal. The connection isn't emotional. The body of Christ connects itself not in the physical connections and not just in your acquaintances with people. The body of Christ connects itself in the spirit. So what I have to do is I have to make a spirit connection. And the only way I can make a spirit connection with her is I have to, my conversation can't center around Alabama and Auburn football. It can't center around what she fixed for Oh, I'm sorry, Florida State. Oh my God. I need to use somebody else as an example. Well, there might not be any connections with Gail at all. So, uh-oh. What's this church coming to? I know three Florida State fans now in this church. And this is why we can forbear each other in love. So the connection, I couldn't have planned that if I tried. Golly. You're fine. That was perfect. So the connection, it can't be just around shared interests, even though shared interest helps us, you know, make a friendship connection, right? The connection has to be out of the Spirit. Now, this is a powerful point that I just got while I was standing right here, because I didn't think about this. But you build up yourself in the body through the Spirit, which is why it's important that, and this is what happens and why division happens in churches. They keep their connection social. And so because they keep their connections carnal and emotional and social, then since their emotions get involved, then when people say things wrong, people, you know, start gossiping about you and all that, then you create church splits, you create problems, you create division in the church. But now, if I'm endeavoring to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace, then I recognize that my relationships in the body are going to be Spirit relationships. And so as Gail and I begin to share with one another, we can talk about the other stuff. That's part of life. That's part of friendship. That's part of who we are. But we can't major on that and minor on the Spirit. What I also want to do is I want to share with her what God has been sharing with me. And she's going to share with me what God has been sharing with her. And there's going to be something that she shares with me that I'm going to say, that's good. That's good. And I'm going to go and take that and I'm going to study that out. And then it's going to strengthen me. And then I'm going to find out a little bit about what her, you know, what her gifting is, what her calling is. And it may be that somewhere down the road that I come across somebody that I think, oh, you know what, Gail would be the perfect person to minister to this individual. And now what's happened is because of that connection in the Spirit, now we begin to build up the body. But the connection happens through the means of the supply that is in each joint. The supply that you have. Now, by virtue of that fact, you have to recognize that you have a supply. We're not leeches. We are not trying to make connections with people just so that we can sit there and suck it all out of them. Yeah. Amen. Just pour into me, pour into me, pour into me. You recognize that you have something. You are supposed to minister. I'm given here to help fit you and to help you get into the work of the ministry. You are valuable in the eyes of God. Amen. You have something to give. I don't care if you don't think you ever have revelation. You have something to give. You have a supply of the Spirit. What's the next phrase? By way of energizing in the measure of each single part. Now that word energizing simply means energy or power. I looked it up. Just simply means energy or power. So the supply that you have comes out of the power that is working in every part. The power of God resides in you. Now, that's why it's important that we as believers, that we are walking out the things of God in our life. Because as we minister, as we walk them out, what happens is that power becomes effectual. It works. Let me read it here myself. By way of the energizing in the measure of each single part. In other words, in the King James Version says, by the effectual working in the measure of every part. That power, it works in you. You allow it to work in you. And then as you connect with people, the gifts of the Spirit will operate through you to speak into their lives. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. You step into a place that the Holy Spirit begins to reveal things to you for the benefit of others. The gifts of the Spirit are not given just to the pastor. That's why on Wednesday nights, we've been focused intently, and we're going to kind of revisit that some starting this Wednesday, that you guys allow the Spirit of God to reveal things to you, because as you do that here in church, you will learn what that means to do that as you make these connections. So that connection will only be as strong as you allow the Spirit of God to flow through you. Oh man, this is just so good. Next phrase. Secureth the growing of the body. See, this is what causes the body to grow, is these kinds of connections that are made through the Spirit according to the measure of the power of God that's working in them. Amen. And so what that does is that creates growth in the body. And then it says, unto an upbuilding of itself in love. All of this still goes back to love. You're still doing everything in love. Your connections are made through love. Love is what's best for the individual, not how can I get credit for what I'm sharing with the individual. It's just what can I do at that moment to help my friend, to help my brother, to help my sister in Christ. Father God, what do I have that I can give, that I can sow into their life? What can I do to be a blessing? And Father, what can show me how to receive from them? See, that's going back to the beginning. That's being meek. That's being lowly. That's receiving from each other. That is endeavoring to keep the unity of the bond, the unity in the bond of peace. I'm not going to go into this today, but the rest of this chapter, and maybe we will look at it. He starts talking about kind of being renewed in your mind, ways that you should walk, but it's still, I want you to read your homework assignment for this week. Read this in the context of the body. He did not change subjects. In my Bible, it shows a subject change. He did not change the subject. Okay? Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Very quickly, I want you to see this in action. Because it's great to get what Paul is saying and how he's trying to apply it to the body, but I want you to see what happened in the church. The very first message that Peter preached, 3,000 people were saved. Look at verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship. So it was the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship with them. And in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and I want you to look at this phrase, many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So as 3,000 people, as they met together with the apostles, as they spent time in fellowship with them, as they spent time eating with them and breaking of bread, then it says that many signs and wonders were done by who? But, Pastor, I thought you said that the signs and wonders should be done by the rest of the church. So why here does it focus on just the apostles? Well, let's just kind of keep looking at some things here. And all that believed were together. Now, I want you to understand that this is talking about just Jews. No Gentiles at this time. This is just Jews, the Jewish church. So already the Jewish church had this common unity that they were Jews. Okay? So there wasn't division based on that. So when you recognize that, you begin to see how they came together. And then in the unity of the Spirit, it says that they all believed were together. They had all things common. This is just a mindset that they had. This is just what they did. Okay, this was by the Spirit. It wasn't that the apostles got up and said, here's the new doctrine. You have to bring all your stuff. That wasn't it. This is just something that was done by the Spirit, okay? And they sold their possessions and goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. In other words, they were so unified. I mean, this almost boggles the mind because of our culture. They were so unified in the Spirit that, as far as they were concerned, you know, everybody here is just as important as my immediate family. Because in the Spirit, there is no difference. Interesting, right? And so they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. And they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. So you just get this concept of just unity and oneness that was going on, and the things that they were doing. They were spending time together, all of these things. Now, turn with me to chapter 4. Now, this is really not too long after this event. And so this is right after Peter and John had healed the man that was lame. And it says here in verse 32 that the multitude of them, Acts chapter 4, verse 32, that the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Now, again, this is the unity of the body of Christ in action. Saints, what I'm trying to show you is what the ideal. Okay? The measure, the standard. That's not to say that we're there, but if you never set your standard to the Word of God, and you always say, well, because of our culture, because of our society, because of the way we are, because of how people are, we can never reach there. So if you lower the standard, you'll never rise above it. So you look at the standard. The standard for God concerning your healing is for you to live in divine life. For you not to have to deal with sickness day in and day out. Doesn't mean that we've all got to that standard. But we preach the standard. And we're endeavoring to live the standard. Amen? So this is, while this may be new, and we haven't really taught along these lines before, because you think, well, this is just impossible when it comes to the church. With God, all things are possible. And how can you reach that? How will you know unless the gospel be preached? You'll never achieve it if you don't see it. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed that was his own. But they had all things common. Now, again, I will reiterate this. Are you saying, Pastor, we have to have all things common? No. Are you saying that that's the standard? No. What I just don't want people to misinterpret what I'm saying, because this was, you do everything from a heart perspective. It's all about what the heart was. It isn't about some rules or regulations or anything like that. This is not what I'm talking about. I am talking about connection in the body of Christ, working together in the unity of the Spirit. And you can do all of those things and still have your possessions and all of that. That's not even the point of what it was, just showing the unity of the body of Christ. They had all things common. And verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Wow. So you have this unity, you have this love. You'll find in the previous verses of this chapter that they were all praying the same thing. And when they did, the place that they were praying began shaking by the power of the Holy Ghost. There's such power in unity. Amen. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And then Jesus said that if two of you will agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done. Yeah. See, that's the reason why the devil has tried to get into churches and create division. Because if they can create division and strife, then what happens is when the unity goes, then so does the oneness of the Spirit, and things can't get accomplished. But the power of God increases where there's unity and where there's love and where there's not dissension or abiding, and when we're connecting ourselves to each other. So with great power gave who? The apostles. So again, here's this focus on the apostles again. Witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Oh, now see, now there's supply that has come. Nobody among them lacked for anything. That's awesome. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses, they sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And so it goes on talking about that a little bit. Now, turn with me over to chapter 6. All right, so we see that there was unity like we've never seen in the church before, and as a result, great power happened through the hands of just the apostles. What about the rest of the church? Check this out. In verse 1, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Uh-oh, we now have a situation where unity was beginning to be impacted. Dissension started happening. Something was happening in the church that did not happen before. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, again, this is still two different types of Jews. You know, some that were called Greek the Greek-speaking Jews is probably the best way to say it. The Amplified calls them Hellenists. They're the Greek-speaking Jews versus the native Hebrews. And so they weren't getting their fair shares the way that they looked at it. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. In other words, they knew what they were called to do. And they could not allow the dissension that was happening distract them from what they were called to do. They understood their role and their part in the body of Christ. So he said, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So as they, and he said, but we will do what we are called to do. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. They laid their hands on them to deal with the issue that was causing dissension among the body. The dissension was taken care of because the problems were handled because of these seven men. Now, as a result of a unifying that took place, the next verse says, and the word of God increased. The word of God increased. Why? Because the disciples continued preaching the word of God, but they kept unity inside the body. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And even a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. But again, we hear about of the apostles doing great signs and wonders. Look at the next verse. And Stephen, not a disciple, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. What people? What people? Where was he? He was giving food to different widows. His gifting at the moment, his calling, what he was doing, his part in the body of Christ was to feed the widows, was to go into these houses. And in that place, he found opportunity to minister to them. Miracles were taking place. It wasn't now the apostles that were going in and great signs and wonders were just being done by them. Great wonders and signs weren't just being done by pastors. It was now the person that was chosen to do what we would consider a menial task, something that's not real important. I just got to go hand out food at the food bank or whatever it is. No, in that moment, he was full of faith and power, and he used that as his opportunity to minister. And out of the supply of the Spirit that was in him, great signs and wonders were being done, and his ministry expanded as a result of it. Glory to God. So as we connect ourselves and allow the body of Christ to fulfill, you'll find your place that in your gifting, great signs and wonders can be done through you. Wow. See, back in verse 1 again, it says, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied. I'm going to have to stop there, but disciples, disciples discipling people. You become a disciple, a follower of God. Not just when the Christians had multiplied. We got a lot of Christians out there that are not disciples. I'll say it again. We got a lot of Christians out there that are not disciples. They're not really following after the things of God. They're not really making the things of God important in their life. Selena, can you play, please? Or Derek, can you play? Since Selena has disappeared. You know, I don't know but maybe I shouldn't say it that way. It is amazing to me as I read through this and you know, I'm struggling a little bit because I see the big picture of what God wants to do in the body, and you know, the thing is I know this is new. I know this isn't something that we've talked about, and for some people, this may not be interesting to you at all. You know, it may be like, you know, well, okay. Whatever, Pastor, you know, because it's in a little different vein of thinking and a focus. So if that's you, if you're not following this that much, just give me a little grace over the next few weeks. I think that you'll get a picture of what God's wanting to do in the body. I believe that there is a great outpouring that Hallelujah. What I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying is that because of the fragmentation of the body of Christ and the dissension, and I'm not talking about this church, but I'm talking about globally, nationwide, that because of the fact that the ministers of the gospel will not focus on this, because they preach messages that tickle the ears and they keep everything pretty surface. What I hear the Spirit of God saying is that the church is in its infancy from a maturity standpoint, that the church hasn't even come close to accomplishing what God designed for the body of Christ. The greatest fulfillment that you will ever have is in you stepping into your place in the body of Christ. The greatest fulfillment that you'll ever have isn't found in your job. It isn't found in your professional goals. It isn't even found just in your immediate family, because there's always that piece of you on the inside that says, I'm meant for something more. I'm meant to do something greater. And something greater doesn't necessarily mean more people, but it means greater in the sense of your role in the Spirit of God. And so the things that the Lord has been talking to me about and been sharing with me, I just pray in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands towards heaven. Father, right now, I just pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Receive this grace this morning. I receive it. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that your heart concerning the body of Christ that our place in the body, connecting ourselves with each other through the supply that we have for each other out of the Spirit, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that your heart for the body of Christ, Father, that every one of us here this morning, we receive and we hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. Does anybody need healing this morning? Great signs and wonders happen in a body where there's unity. Glory to God. So does anybody sick needs healing this morning? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you do, just come on up. Get that taken care of. Praise God. Then I'll take that as a no. Now, let me just say this. For you to begin to connect with each other, you have to be intentional about doing it. And it's real easy just to stay in your comfort zone and say, okay, I'm going to give out of my supply to the people I already know. You know? No, there's more to it than that. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. There's just an overwhelming presence of God right now. Here. And sometimes I get kind of lost in it as I'm listening to what he's saying. You have to make a decision to become part of the body of Christ. You might be here this morning and you've never really made Jesus the Lord of your life. You know, it's not about just making a confession. It's really about saying, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to make you the Lord of my life. I believe that you're raised from the dead. I believe. I repent. I turn from my ways. Stop living for myself. And I'm going to live for you and allow you to live through me. By receiving that grace and by receiving his love and his forgiveness in your life, you instantly become a member and a part of the body of Christ. So, after the service, if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give you that opportunity. Talk to you about that a little bit. And then there's power for living through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Power for living. It's one of the most awesome things to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, allowing God to reveal things to you. And he's ready to give it to anybody who asks. I believe in it so strongly. It is just amazing to see the transformations that happen in people's lives. Would you stand with me for a moment? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Keep playing, Derek. Let's just lift our voices up to heaven and just begin to worship him. He is our King. He is our King. Selena. As Derek plays, I just believe that you're going to have a song. So just. The Spirit of God will not let me close the service at the moment, so I'm not going to. Thank you, Father. Father, we give you praise.
Don Pass. Oh, there it is. Hallelujah. Let's take a moment and worship Him. Worship your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may not see what's on the other side, but you will trust me because you know I love you. You may not see what's on the other side of this. This may be new to your ears, new to your heart. But trust me, because I love you. Someone here has a word for you in season. Someone here has the next step for you in conversation. And as you step out and connect with each other, that's the kind of power that will be displayed. So you may not see what's on the other side, but trust me, I have already supplied for you in connection with each other. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
So, Father, we trust you. We receive that in Jesus' name. I'm excited about the possibilities and about the things that'll take place in our lives as we all grow into the full measure of the stature of the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Glory to God. We receive it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Glory to God.